Unhinged, a state of mind which prevents normal perception, behavior, or social interaction. In a generation where conformity is the standard, we choose to live reckless, passionate, abnormal lives, on fire and unhinged for Jesus. Hey there, welcome to Unhinged. I'm your host, Stephanie, and I'm so excited to be with you today. Today, we're going to talk about a topic that is so prevalent right now. I just feel like it's just showing up everywhere. I feel like it's a topic that has shown up before over and over and over. It's just one of those things that as people we deal with, but it doesn't get addressed always. Today we're going to talk about, am I enough? We ask that question so often of ourselves. Am I pretty enough? Am I funny enough? Am I creative enough? All of those things. And the answer may really shock you, but I really want to get into the word and hear where the root of that question came from. Where does that question come from? Why is it such a prevalent question for us, especially as believers? We have such a difficult time knowing that everything that we were created to do, we are 100% capable of doing. And we ask ourselves the questions all the time. Can I do this? Am I able to? Am I enough? Right? And the problem is that the enemy set us up right at the beginning of time to ask that question, right? In Genesis chapter 1, God created everything all by himself. He's the sovereign God who is like, I don't need anybody to do anything. I can do it all by myself, but I choose you. I want you. And that's kind of the backdrop of chapter 1 is like, boom, I got this, right? And then chapter 2, God creates the human race. Chapter 2 is where he's like, yeah, I want to be in relationship with you. I want you around. I love you. I created you though. I know who you are. I'm telling you, I'm going to give you dominion over the earth. I'm going to allow you to subdue the earth and take over it and run the earth. And there's just one thing I want you to do. I want you to be obedient. That's really what the tree was about. It really had nothing to do with all the details of which tree was it. And, you know, there was a little bit of specifics when it came down to the tree, specifically which tree it was. But the whole reason that God put it there, he could have put it any place on the whole earth, but he put it right in the middle of Eden. Why? Because he's like, listen, when we have relationship, you should be able to obey me and to honor me, right? And that's what he's saying to us, is that no matter what the situation is, no matter what it is that I'm asking you to do, can you just do it? And then boom, chapter 3 comes, and I'm going to read a lot of this. I'm going to read verses 1 through, I think it's 4, verses 1 through 4, but I'm going to stop and take some notes along the way. Chapter 3, verse 1, Genesis. We're in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord had made. He said to the woman, time out. Why is a snake talking to a woman? Just asking. If you start talking to snakes, let me know. We're going to pray about it, okay? But he said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? What Satan was saying is, what's God trying to say? You're in this big old garden and you can't even take full advantage of it. Why would he put you here? So immediately he's putting doubt in Eve's mind about how good God is. Why do we even entertain questions about how good God is? When we look over our lives, when we think about the things that we've been through, the idea that we shouldn't even be here. Why are we even questioning how good God is? First of all. Secondly, no, that's not what God said. If you want to question, if you want to throw out questions about what God is saying, no, that's not what he's saying. So my question to you as we're talking and as we're thinking through this topic is, do you know what God said to you? One of the biggest problems that Eve had is that she didn't know what God said to her. She had spent time with God every single day, but she was going off of what somebody else told her about God instead of having the conversation with God. Lord, what did you say to Eve, to Adam, before I was born, before you created me? What was that conversation about? Because, you know, Adam told me a little bit, but I want to know from you. Think about that. We go to Sunday service. We go to Wednesday service. Well, that's what I do. Some of you all go to service every single day. Some of us go to service once a year or twice a year. But do we actually spend time talking to God? Because we're listening to what everybody else says about God. We're listening to what everybody else says that God said. But do we know for ourselves what God said? That is going to be the game changer for us. Because right now, Eve is strictly going off of what she heard Adam say. And even in that, unless Adam told her absolutely wrong, she didn't even hear Adam properly. She didn't even take the time to remember correctly what Adam said about what God told him. We're about to hear that right now. In verse 2, the Bible says, "The woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat from the tree in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die.'" That's not what God said. That is not what the Lord said. The Lord told Adam he may not eat from the tree. So guess what? Adam and Eve, once they ate from the tree and once they sinned and died like God told them that they would, their relationship with God died. Their relationship to the garden and the safety and the enjoyment that they had in life, all of those things died. A big piece of them died spiritually, emotionally. They were insecure now. They didn't know what insecurity was before this. Their security died. So when the Lord told them, "You're gonna surely die," guess what? He meant it. And when he tells us things like, "Hey, do ABC and XYZ, or you're going to suffer these consequences." And we're like, no, let me tell you, you're going to suffer the consequences that God tells you. If I don't do what God tells me to do, I'm going to suffer the consequences of not being obedient to him. So Eve didn't even know what God had said to her. We have to know what God is saying to us. And then Satan comes in and says, "You will not certainly die." This is verse 4. "The serpent said to the woman, 'For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.'" And right there, boom, that was the nail in the coffin. It was all over. Right there is where Eve believed the lie. And what lie did she believe? She believed that God was holding out on her. She believed that God was holding back from her something that was good for her, something that was going to be better for her than what she had access to. And when she believed that lie, right there is when all the insecurity came into the picture. In Jeremiah 33:3, the Bible says, "Call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know." Do we call to him? I wonder if Eve had gone to God and said, "Lord, the serpent said to me that," wow, this is good. God has given me this right now. "The serpent said to me that if I eat from this tree, I'll know good and evil. Is that true?" And God may have very well said to her, "Yeah, that's true. But not only will you know good and evil, you'll experience good and evil." Because that's what happened. That's what happened. As soon as they ate from the fruit, their eyes were open. She recognized that she had no clothes on. She didn't care about being naked before. She didn't care because she was pure. There was a purity behind her not being clothed. There was no insecurity and no shame in the things that God had for her and the best intentions that God had for her. When God spoke to her and told her a specific thing, it was the absolute best that God had for her. But she believed the lie that the enemy had. And that's the same thing that we do. We believe that, you know, God says, "Look, call to me and I'll answer you." He says, "Be still and know that I'm God," right? And somehow we decide that because we can't figure God out and because he's not responding to the details that we ask him for, that all of a sudden he's not moving on our behalf. But what is that? What is that? When he says, "I've called you for such a time as this," we decide to stand still all of a sudden. All of a sudden we decide, no, this is not the time to move. And we want to question, like Moses questioned, "Am I good enough? Will people believe me? Is change really going to happen because of me? why is it that when the serpent talks to us and he's telling us things that have nothing to do with what God is doing in our lives, and he's distracting us and he's lying to us and telling us, oh, you know, God has told you to go out there and do that, and that's just crazy. God has told you to go and start your business, but you don't even know anything about business. You don't have any resources. You don't have any money. You don't have the tutoring that you need or the discipleship that you need in order to be a business owner. How are you going to do that? But we don't take God at his word. Why is that? Why is that? We, and especially women, right? We get so mad at Eve because of the thing that she did. But guess what? We believe the lie every single day. We believe the lie every single day. It's easy for her to take a bad rap because it's easy for us to see how her sin affected the world. How now all of a sudden, because Eve decided that she wanted to eat from the fruit, all of a sudden, the whole world is born into sin. But what about us? It's not so easy for us to see how our being paralyzed by sin or our disobedience and all the other things that we do or don't do affect the legacy of the people around us. But God knows. God knows what he called us to do, what he called us to stay away from, what he called us to run towards. And he knows exactly how it's going to affect people when we obey and when we disobey what he's calling us to do. We ask all these questions. And then when the Lord asks us to move for good reason, we tell him no. We're not smart enough. We're not funny enough. We're not creative enough. We're not whatever your insecurity is. Fill in your own blank. You know what it is that's holding you back from listening to what God said. And guess what? All of those insecurities are valid. Every single one of those insecurities are a valid insecurity. And the cool thing is, the King of Kings still wants to use us. He still wants to use us. He still created us for purpose. He still created us for the exact thing that we feel unqualified for. That is why he created us. Unfortunately, the fact is we need to get over ourselves. We need to get over ourselves. The only thing that qualifies us is the blood of Jesus Christ. So we're asking all these questions, can I, am I, et cetera, et cetera. No. The answer is no. The reality is no. You're not good enough. You're not funny enough. You're not cute enough. You're not tall enough, right? You're not all these things, but God. But God. The more we focus on what God wants for us to do, the more we focus on the way he wants us to do it, the more we focus on why he wants us to do it, the faster we're going to go. The better it'll be, and the more power we'll have to change the lives around us. It's not about us. It's not about our fame. It's not about our standard of living. It's not about how we want to do the thing. It's not about that. It's not about that. It's about what did God create us for? There are so many people who are running from their callings. It's so interesting to me. I've never experienced being so overwhelmed by my calling that I want to run from it. But it's a real thing. So many people are like, this is too big. I don't want to do this. This is scary. And I understand, right? There's a cost. There's a cost associated with living out what God has called us to live out. And I know the cost very well. So I understand being in a place where you don't necessarily want to pay for the assignment over your life. It's an expensive cost. But in Jeremiah 1:5, the Bible says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Before you were in the womb, he knew you. So what did God appoint you to? Right? God appointed Jeremiah to the nations. He wanted him to be a prophet, speak these words, right? And now he's He's one of the prophets that we talk about on a regular basis. Everybody knows Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not bring you harm, to bring you hope in the future. I'm sorry if I just botched that a little bit, but we know that verse, right? What did God appoint you to? You were appointed for something, just like Jeremiah. It wasn't just you. In Psalm 139:16, the Bible says, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. So it wasn't just like it was for Jeremiah who the Lord knew and formed and set apart. No, you too. Me too. God has set us apart for something specific. Jeremiah 1:6, going back there, it says, alas, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I am too young. Why are we giving God excuses? Why are we giving God excuses? What's your excuse? What's your excuse? I have my excuses. What's yours? And can we just get over it? Can we just get past the excuses? Moses had his excuses. Jeremiah had his excuses. We have so many excuses, and God is like, but I created you for this. I formed you in the womb with your calling. I formed you in the womb with your assignment. And then God says to Jeremiah in verse 7, but the Lord said to me, do not say I am too young. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. God is like, get over it. I'm not trying to hear that. I put inside of you the thing that I intended to come out of your life. That's what God is saying to us. He said it to Jeremiah was a prophet. He was a prophet of the Lord. He was like a big time prophet. The Bible says that he told Jeremiah, I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. And he said to Jeremiah, get over it. I need you to get past your insecurity. I need you to stop asking the question, am I enough? Am I good enough? Am I this enough? Stop asking the question. The answer is no, you're not. No, we're not. Am I qualified to do a podcast? No, I'm not. I'm not. That's okay. I'm not a doctor. I don't have this degree and that degree. I have a background in accounting. I am an accountant. Let me tell you, I will nerd out and geek out. I will nerd out over a good spreadsheet, okay? I'm not qualified to be running a podcast about how to live a life unhinged. Like, I'm not a psychologist or a therapist, or that's not what I do. And God says, but I put it in you. And that's what I want to pull out of you. So don't tell me how you don't have enough degrees and how you don't have enough time and how, you know, your baby girl is making too much noise for you to find a quiet space. I don't want to hear that. What I want to hear is, how are you going to help people live lives unhinged? That's what God wants to know from me. How are you going to encourage people to live the life that I have called them to live? So guess what that means? That means that I just have to go do what God told me to. I have to be okay with the fact that I don't have the skills or a team or the resources that I need and all these other things that I want to be exactly where I wanted to be when I started doing the things that I was doing that God put in me. Sometimes it looks like, guess what? Go sit down and write down the topics for the podcast. What are you going to talk about? What's the research? Do you have any, you know, bullet points? Do you have any statistics? What is it that you should be doing? That's where you need to start, right? We need to stop with the questions, stop with the insecurities, stop with all those things. And maybe we need to go to God and say, God, like, these are my insecurities. These are the things that scare me. These are the things that, and let him really, really deal with us in those spaces. And then go get the pen. Go get the laptop, go get the whatever it is, the paintbrush, whatever it is. Go get the curling iron, right? We have whoever you are, whatever your talent is, whatever your skill is, makeup brushes, whatever it is. go and take the first steps. I know some bakers, bomb bakers. Girlfriend, I love cookies. Bro, are you called to be in sports? What are you called to do? Are you called to be a photographer? There's some amazing photographers out here. Well, I don't have a camera. You have a cell phone? Go figure out the apps that you can put in your cell phone to work your photography. God is calling us to raise up, stop asking questions. Here's the answer. No, we're not qualified. We don't have what it takes. We don't have the right look. We don't have the right feel. We don't know how to brand ourselves. But we have a surrendered heart. Is your heart surrendered to the things that the Lord is focusing on? Are we focused on Him instead of my fears, my insecurities, my doubts? When we start to focus on what God is doing, that's when we'll see our progress. I hope this was encouraging to you. I hope that you're able to say, listen, God is good to me. God is doing great things, and I'm going to allow Him to move how He wants to move. I'm going to allow Him to speak how He wants to speak, and I'm just going to do what He's asking me to do. I might be like Moses out here in a desert with a ton of sheep, and now God is calling me back to the place where I came from and that I've been running from, but I'm just going to go. I'm just going to go, and I'm going to look at what's in my hand, and I'm going to use it for His glory. And I'm not going to ask if I'm smart enough. And I'm not going to ask if I speak well enough. And I'm not going to doubt if, you know, whatever it is, you know that thing in your heart. You know the thing that's holding you back. So let's go before the Lord and let's pray and let's start making movement. Let's start making some movement. You are not enough because of yourself. You're enough because God covered you in the blood of Jesus, right? When you came to salvation, when you came to the Lord, you were covered by the blood of Christ, and then you were empowered to do what it is that God has created you to do. So let's focus on that. We're not good enough because of what the world says we're good enough by. We're not good enough because of what the world says we're good enough. We're not good enough because of the terms and conditions that the world has on our lives. We're good enough because God has called us. He is going to empower us and anoint us to do the things that He has called us to do, that He has created us to do. So for real, let's pray this time and let's go do it. All right. Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much that you've revealed to us that insecurity and fear and all these things are not just one person's struggle, Lord. Even Eve, who sat with you literally face to face, walked with you in the cool of the day, was deceived and confused and lied to by the enemy. And so as we have talked about and thought through what that meant for Eve, Lord, and what it means for us to be reconciled to you, putting aside our insecurities, putting aside our doubts and our fears and all the other questions that we have, we come asking boldly that you would equip us, empower us, and anoint us to use the things that you've put inside of us to change lives, Lord. You have called us to change lives, Lord. Just like you had a very specific job for Jeremiah, you created him and anointed him to prophesy to the nations, Lord. You have very specifically placed a task inside of each person, Lord God. And I ask right now in the name of Jesus Christ, and we ask, Lord, that you would open our hearts. Give us clean hearts, Lord. David, King David asked that you would search our hearts, Lord. And so we ask the same right now. Search our hearts that our motives will be pure. We don't want to seek after you and your calling that you've placed inside of us for fame or money or selfish desire. We want those things because we know that they bring you glory, Father. So use us according to your purposes. God, we know that we are enough because you made us enough. We're covered in your blood. We're covered in your purpose, Lord. And because of that, we are enough. And because of that, we say thank you. And we honor you by giving you the gift that you put inside of us, Lord. So we lay it at your feet right now and we get up, Lord, and we go and do the thing that you have called us to. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father. Amen and amen. Thank you for listening to this episode of Unhinged. I would love to hear your unhinged takeaway. So please be sure to visit me at stephaniekelleher.com, where you'll also find more episodes. Until next time, stay encouraged, faith-filled, and unhinged.